Good afternoon. Today is Monday, September the 3rd, Labor Day, 2012. Joining us this afternoon. Now, are you interim chief or are you permanent chief or what exactly are you, Merle?
Well, the title right now is chief.
Chief. For all right. Chief until you die?
No. Oh. Well, that might.
Wouldn't
that
be chief for life?
I mean, could be tomorrow, I guess.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Hope not.
But. All right. Eureka Police Chief, Merle Harpham.
Right.
There we go. They have to twist your arm, or are you theirs?
No. You know, if they ask me to do something, I'm, you know, I'm a soldier. I'm going to follow orders. And
fair enough. Yeah. I just can't imagine seeing you with a budget pencil, but that's all right. When
well,
we come back,
no. I have a person for that. I mean, I'm Ronald Reagan school. Surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, and you'll get the job done.
Fair enough, fair enough. We'll talk about the difference between interimness, permanency, and some of the things in you know, now that we're past Labor Day, well, almost kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
School's back in session, some of that kind of stuff, too. So we'll do some catch-up there as well when we come back.
I'm Mark Biet with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biet with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. But before we do, our quote of the day this afternoon comes from Frank Capra. A hunch is creativity trying to tell you something.
Okay.
That works for you?
Sure.
Okay. Well,
play your first instinct sometimes.
Yeah, go with your gut, so to speak. A lot of different things going on. Let's start with the interim being erased, or new business cards, depending on how your perspective is.
Well, it's not.
You've played the rodeo for a while,
right?
Is this police chief now through the future, or is this police chief until the new city manager comes in and then he reviews who his department heads are, or her?
Well, you know, I can't speak for Mr. Tyson, but if I were running things like he, I, at this point in time where it's so close for him leaving, I would allow the next city manager to make the choice because he's the one that's going to have to work with him.
And that kind of happens by default anyway.
Right.
With all department heads. So it's not like you're out there by yourself.
No.
You might feel that way.
Yeah, right.
What did it come as a relief, or do you think the stability that the department, at least they, you know, if they like you, great. If they don't like you, great. At least there's knowledge now that things aren't going to be turned upside down in the next little bit.
Right. That's always, you know, that's always a relief when you know things are going to be stable. And that unknown, you know, who's going to come in and what are they going to do when they do come in? And there's been a lot of cases where it's caused a lot of turmoil and people leave because of it. And in fact, you know, as an example, when I took over, we were seven sworn officer positions were down. And technically now we're only down one. We're actually down three because at July 1st of this year, the council gave us two more sworn positions. So, but
no funny money on this.
No.
So you got some room to grow.
Right.
Are there kids coming out of the academies that are qualified enough, that are interested enough in working for EPD, whether it's this academy or another academy, to be able to fill those slots? Or?
Yes. In fact, we have two of our PSOs, police service officers, that are going to be going into the academy on October 1st, and they want to become police officers. And, of course, they have to go through the academy to accomplish that. They're still going to work. We're going to adjust their hours so they work part-time, like cover the weekends for us and things like that. And in the meantime, they're going to be going to the academy full-time.
Now, PSO... For these individuals, is that an in-the-office position or an outside office?
No, they're non-sworn in term. Well, non. They're actually sworn, but they don't carry weapons other than mace, and they go out and take minor reports, crime reports.
The fender bender.
Minor accidents, thefts, and things like that.
So they're of the culture.
Pardon?
Culture. They know what they're getting into.
Yeah, they know what they're getting into because they're basically handling calls that doesn't need an officer because there's no suspect involved, like fraud cases and things like that. If they develop a suspect, they immediately turn it over to an officer to do the follow-up because we don't allow them to contact suspects. They can talk to all the victims they want, but they're not allowed to talk to any suspects.
So when they become, presumably, full sworn officer, now you got to backfill and find two PSO positions to fill?
Right.
Will you do that at the same time?
Yes. We're advertising right now for in anticipation and to fill those positions.
So that's two of your three slots?
Yes.
What about number three?
Well, there's some other people that are entering the academy that have expressed a desire to come to work for us. And so we're even looking at some of them already as getting the paperwork necessary to do backgrounds, because backgrounds take 6 or 7 weeks by the time you do the complete background, get the polygraph, do the medical and the psychological testing and all those things. It's a long process. And we're not going to lower our standards, you know, regardless of how things bad. I mean, when we got down, when I took over and we were seven positions down, one of the things I said, we will not lower our standards. We're going to recruit. And we got some great people. We're real happy with the people we got.
Anybody looking to retire?
We have a young department. And right now, the only ones that are close to retirement is one sergeant and two lieutenants. But I'm trying to convince them to stay on around a while.
And that feels like it's going to happen?
Yeah. They're very positive about it. They're very happy with the way things are going. And so...
So it's just age catching up to them and giving them an option.
Yeah, right.
Rather than anything else.
Well, a year ago, they were going to be gone.
Oh, and so this is the Merle factor.
Well... I don't know.
Just say yes and let it go. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpum.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop. Happy Labor Day, everybody, with Merle Harpum, Eureka Police Chief. Merle, some of the different challenges that are going on are anticipated, some are not anticipated. One of the anticipateds is you've got school but now back in session. I think everybody's back in on Tuesday, tomorrow. Does that, other than creating different traffic patterns for you, different times of the day, add any additional workload?
No, not really. it keeps the kids busy, and they've had school things going on, and so that small percent that would be out causing problems are... in school, and they're not out looking for, you know, trouble to get into.
I was thinking more along the lines, I guess this is my myopic Pollyanna thing. Kids running across the street, drivers, suddenly they're getting later to work because there's more traffic on the road, so they're not able to do what they've been able to do for the last 3 months. Parents taking kids to areas that are unfamiliar with them, so they may not be acting the same. You know, Booner and S is the one that I'll focus on just because it's in our neighborhood.
Right.
You see kids blowing through, you know, after it's turned red and after it's turned green, they're taking care of that. Kids walking out through the crosswalks or not, dashing across. I mean, just those normal things that you kind of expect.
Right.
But it's different because it wasn't there before.
Right. The only congestion that occurs is around the schools. If it's bad weather, parents will pick up or drop off their kids, and they'll double park sometimes, or you know, take up all the parking, and then other people have to double park, and that's the only real issues we have. The other things seem to take care of themselves. The young people are not usually the problems in traffic situations. A friend of mine is thinking about buying a moped, and he asked me, he says, should I be concerned about driving a moped around Eureka? I says, no, not as long as you don't drink, use drugs, obey the laws, and wear a helmet. Because we're real high in this state. Now, like in bicycle accidents, we're up there one or two in the whole state of 98 cities that we're compared with. And but none of them are under 25. Very few are ever under 25. All our bicycle injury, bicycle or fatal bicycle accident are people in their 30s and 40s. And they're like the guy that was balancing two cases of beer on his bicycle as he's driving down a turn lane down Broadway. You know, car hit him.
I would think that that's probably more related to a lot of the homeless using bicycles as opportunity vehicles to go through neighborhoods and things of that nature than anything else. And I've seen them weave in and out in traffic,
yes,
let alone when there's no traffic. So, you know, if they're being used in that fashion, and if these folks either are unfamiliar with how to, what the laws are, or as you said, are either inebriated or looking to become very quickly, of course you're going to have those kinds of situations.
Right. And that's so true right now with this, what's going on with this realignment, or the fact that we can't put people in jail, or when we do put them in jail, they don't stay there but a few hours. I've had some people that have scanners that have told me, wow, I said, your officers are stopping people all night long on bicycles. What's that about? And I said, well, the probable cause for the stop is there are no lights on the bike. They're roaming around in and out of alleys, 11, 12 o'clock at night, clear on into 4 o'clock in the morning, and wearing dark clothing, a lot of times hoodies, and they're out doing their thing, because they can. I think the best example is back in the 90s when we were building the jail. I put 18 officers out in teams, nine teams, two-man teams. Some were on bikes, some were in plain cars, and their direction was to stop everybody on a bike that doesn't have a light. That's your probable cause for the stop. And we stopped 64 people. 63 of them were either on parole, were violating probation, had stolen property on them, had drugs on board. One was totally clean. And we took, we'd bring him into the station and cite him because we couldn't take him to jail. They were minor crimes. Take him in the station and cite him and release him out the back door. And one of the officers come back after releasing one of the guys, and he says, that son of a gun, he wadded up my ticket and threw it in the bushes. I said, well, bring him back in and cite him for littering. Why? He'll just tear that one up. And so that's what's going on right now with this realignment that's hit us.
Isn't that what the big push was, to get a bigger jail? In that time frame?
In the 90s?
Right. Yeah, because the bad guys weren't going in jail. And they knew it, and they started thumbing their nose not only at the badges, but at everybody in the community at the same time.
Right, and there was several things that played into that. One was that a judge had put a limit on how many people could be held in prison. I mean, they used to hold, say, X amount, and it might be, 20 people over what the max was.
Yeah, it was like 220, 240, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so the judge came in and ordered that they could not, they had to, if we took someone to jail on a serious offense that they were going to hold, they had to hold, they had to release, they had to look down the roster and find somebody else to release, whether they were under sentenced or there on a less dangerous type crime.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. Merle, you kind of touched on the realignment and the impacts of it in the last segment. Realignment, I think, was often portrayed as being a positive because it meant that we were flattening out government, that the decision-making was coming to the locals. The dollars associated with it would come to the locals. We know how to deal with our own situations best. Thank you very much. Okay. Local rule, that kind of stuff. Don't have the sense that that's the case with this realignment with the criminal justice system. Fair statement?
I think so. if our rate of crime, the increase in our rate of crime on the various categories, particularly those low-level ones, you know, car thefts. Our car thefts are up 102%. And some of our other, larceny's up like 42. But all those type of crimes are way off the board. Some of the other ones are not. In fact, there's been a decrease in family abuse situations, rape and some of those. There's a decrease in those, but an increase in the ones where the people are not going to jail. They're not being held accountable. So why not go out and reoffend?
Is it that black and white?
Pretty much, yeah.
So this went into effect?
October of last year.
So you almost have a full year under your belt.
Right. About January is when we started noticing our increase started to go up.
Was it gradual or was it almost like a right angle?
No, it was gradual.
And now it's to the point.
Actually, June was a huge. We arrested 300 and something more people in June than we did the previous June.
Not 300 total?
No. It was around 500 and something total.
So almost a doubling
of
the total number of arrests.
Right.
With the realignment and the responsibilities and the costs. Is the jailhouse full?
I'm told it is. I know the woman's side is full because they're releasing women. I mean, we could arrest a woman for 5 pounds of coke and she's going to be out in a couple hours. In fact, you probably saw in the paper where Arcata arrested the woman and she had an ounce of meth on her. They took her to jail. They got a call at a motel a couple hours later in Arcata. And they caught her coming out of a room with more meth. They arrested her again, and she was out within a few hours. And we had the same thing happen to us last weekend with our pop guys. They arrested a woman on California Street. They took her to jail. She had arrested her for sales of heroin. They took her to jail. They went up to, did a follow-up. They found some things at the house that led them to a house in McKinleyville. They went up there, searched that house, found some things there that indicated they'd missed some stuff back at California. So they went back to California Street to research it, and the woman was back there already, and they arrested her again. She was out a few hours later.
So how should anybody hearing this have any faith that we have people paying attention to what the laws are and that we're not in chaos?
Well, excuse me. Cal Chiefs is politicking the governor to try and, open his eyes at what the hell this realignment thing has caused. And so there is a move to, try and find other answers.
But if it's going through that process, he's probably more focused now on the November elections than he is on dealing with this. Do you have any flexibility? Does the sheriff, the DA, does anybody in law enforcement have flexibility to create a something similar to the CCC that isn't a formal structure?
Yeah.
Or that these folks, I mean,
we needed that
decide
sheriff.
And release is, yeah.
That sheriff from Arizona.
I'm not sure, was it Arpaio?
Yeah, Arpaio, right.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. You know, just our county, because I'm sure Del Norte County is dealing with it.
Sure.
And Shasta County, yep. And Mendocino, yep. County and everybody else. I guess.
It's a statewide problem. As I say, I saw a news release that, and it was quoting chiefs from Modesto and Redding and all over the state about how their crime rate is going off the scale.
So what do you see as not a solution, because a solution would be a permanent, but a temporary fix for this thing so that you guys aren't going crazy and we're not getting
hammered
all the time.
Right. You know, I don't have a solution. I mean, the solution that I would have would be politically incorrect. So
does it involve canines?
No, not necessarily.
Concealed weapons.
Excuse me. I've got a frog in my throat here.
Yeah, at some time I would think it's going to get to that point. One of these guys is going to get shot and dropped.
Yeah.
In the backyard, or a dog's going to get a hold of somebody and not let go, and
yeah.
And it's going to be one of your frequent flyers.
No doubt about it. A small percent, 5% of the population of Eureka causes 90% of our problems. The only problem is that 5% are not in, you know, there's always a percent of those that are in custody, but they're not in custody anymore. So that 5% is making the workload a lot more, if you can follow my arithmetic there.
Scary, I'm with you. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpum.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. So, Merle, in this kind of a situation, this realignment, the impacts, the either unintended or intended consequences, it doesn't really matter at this point. What legally can we do? If someone's in our backyard, okay, turn the dog out. Great, we'll have a little excitement.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that next time we happen to be awake when that same hooligan is there. Or in the front, okay, you don't want the dog chasing somebody five or six blocks down the road. You know, what can we legally do? What is safe for us to do? What do you recommend that we do?
Well, first off, if they're in your backyard. Or front yard, either one, yeah. and they're not posing an immediate threat, then all you can do is call us. you can, and it's a personal thing. You know, if you think that you want to confront them in some way, you know, open up your door and say, hey, what are you doing here? You know, something like that. But that's a personal thing. There are people that would never do that. They'd lock the doors, close the blinds, and I understand that. Because
what about opening the door, opening the blinds, throwing on the lights, and yelling, go get him, tiger?
Yeah, you could do
There's a lot of folks that would be doing that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can, anything that you do, as long as it's not, you know, taking a deadly force situation.
So baseball bat could be okay. Gun might not be recommended.
Yeah, gun might not be recommended. Baseball bat, you have to be close to the person for that to become an assault.
The concern that I think a lot of us would have, paying attention to the news, is these folks, you mentioned the meth and the heroin, if they're looped up on something, a baseball bat isn't necessarily going to stop them, at least based on some of the conversations we've had. Just kind of get them mad. Well, if somebody's in that condition, I don't have anything that can stop them.
Yeah. And, you know, and that is a problem because, you know, a lot of the people we have the last time I used the term dopers, you know, somebody called in and said they're drug abusers or something. That term was too harsh, I guess, for somebody, but they can be very dangerous. The heroin people aren't very dangerous if they're on heroin at the time. If they're off heroin and need some more heroin, they could be dangerous. But meth people are dangerous all the time, whether they're on or off meth. They've developed a paranoia, and so they can be very dangerous. And we're seeing that where, you know, like our tasers don't bother them. Pain compliance, you put nunchucks on their wrists, they don't feel it.
So if you've got little kids and you see something like this, you know, calling you guys, you might be chasing two or three of them somewhere else already.
Yes.
You know, in the 5 to 7 minute response time, you know, you guys try to hit tighter windows than that.
If it's a 911, our response time is down around 3 minutes.
But is this a 911? If I call and say, I got somebody in the backyard, I don't know if they're high or not.
Yeah.
I really don't want to go out there because my aim isn't that good right now. help.
Yeah.
Is that a 911? Is that sirens and whistles coming?
No, but they might. But at least they might make it a higher priority.
Okay, so if I've got little guys in the house, what are you supposed to do?
Well, you can do whatever necessary to protect your family and your house. You just can't. I mean, if they try to come into the house, then that's a whole different ball game. But if they're out in the yard where they're not an immediate threat to you,
taking your property.
Yeah. If it's just a theft, minor theft thing, they're trying to rip off something out of your yard or something.
Bikes, barbecues, ladders, power equipment.
Right.
Let them go.
You can't use deadly force. You can threaten them with deadly force, but you can't use deadly force.
I would presume they know that.
Who? Well, some of them are going to be intimidated by it.
Well, hopefully we won't have to have this conversation tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
One-on-one.
Yeah. turn on a lot of lights, and that usually scares them off. There's things they don't like is noise, like barking dogs, alarms, and lights.
So make noise and be seen.
Yes.
All righty, guy. Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
Happy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.